Father, Lord God, we, Lord, we just pray, Father, that, that you speak to us, Lord God. I pray, Father, that, our hearts don't grow so cold, Lord God, that we don't allow you to come in, Father. I pray for any of us, Lord, that have, been raised in a situation, Lord, where we've just had to be so tough and we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable. But Father, Lord God, I pray that you soften us, Lord. Help us to open our hearts, Lord God, and to look at each other in this room as family that's not perfect, but we all want the same goal. We all want you just to teach us and to use us and to guide us. Help us to trust one another, Lord God, but first, Lord, help us to be trustworthy, Lord. Father, Lord God, I just pray that when we are going through our day, Lord God, and we do have those hard times, Father, whether it's just making a tough decision or maybe someone that's hurt us in the past has come to our memory, maybe we're just overwhelmed with emotions. Father, Lord God, I just pray that you just bring a song to our heart, Lord, and help us just to dig deeper in you. I know that sometimes I'll be walking through the day and I'll just start singing and it makes everything else go away. And Father, I do pray that you are just that song in our heart. Help us to be focused on you and just ignore our surroundings, Lord. Now I know one of these words up here for good, good father, I typed wrong, and I always forget to change it, so sorry. You guys just keep singing what's up there. Like you have a choice.
Of what they think your life, but I For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his power, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to understand and to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within him and within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
I could run away, but you would never miss.
And I need you. Yes, I need you. Every step of the way. I could run away, but you would never leave. You would always stay right by my side. I could run away, but you would never leave. You will always right by my side. You're right by my side. You're right by my side. Father, I just think about all the times when I just heard you speak to me. I heard your voice. And I wasn't ready to give up my chains yet, because I thought that was freedom. I lied to myself so much. But you didn't walk away from me, and you were so there for me. Even when I was not faithful to you, I had given you my heart, and then I thought, wait a minute, do I really want to do this? And you said, yeah, you do, and I'm not going to give up on you. Father, I pray for anyone here today that has given their heart to you, but they just don't know how to let go. Or Father, they know exactly what they're doing and they just don't want to let go. Father, I pray that they just stop lying to themselves. Because the freedom to do the things in this world is not freedom at all. And I know that once you start doing a little bit of sin, it grows and it grows and it grows. And I know that complete freedom is saying, I don't need to do that. That has no power over me because I have Christ's blood that gave me freedom. We do not walk alone. We have the strength of Christ in every single situation. You know, sometimes we hear that line, but you don't understand. Well, I can tell you up here, me personally, I do understand. I understand addiction. I understand being in sin in so many different ways. And I can also say that I understand the freedom of Christ. He gave it to me, and I know that he can give it to you too. So Father, we just pray here right now, Lord God. I pray that we have such a sober mind, that there's no grandiose ideas, that we have a freedom that we really don't have when we're walking in this world. Getting drunk isn't a freedom. It's a chain and it's bondage. It may not be, you know, the thing that says, well, you know, if I drink too much tonight and I die, if Christ has your heart, that's fine. Christ has your heart. But because Christ has your heart, I want you to say, I don't need to do these things anymore. I don't need to be in this sexual sin in this relationship because I have Christ and Christ wants better for me. Maybe I can give up smoking because I know Christ cares for me and he made me so I can have strength while walking in him. I can stop looking at these things online because I have strength. All of these things that dig their heels in and pull me farther from Christ, I don't need to do those things. So, Father, I pray for everyone here today, Lord God, whether it be what we say is a little sin or a really big sin, Father, you came for it all. I pray that people can forgive themselves too, and they can have freedom from condemnation. But Lord God, let us all walk in freedom this morning, Father, from any chains that are holding us down. We pray your name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. And while we're getting set up here, there's a couple things I want to mention. If anyone here is in need of a refrigerator, used refrigerator, I'm supposed to mention that. Also a stove, if anybody's in need of a stove, we have that as well. And then I'm trying to think what else. Not a washer and dryer. Refrigerator, stove, dishwasher. So if anybody is in need of any of those things in this body, then we have someone who's willing to give that as a gift in Jesus' name. And we want to make sure you have that. Also, we just want to pray for a couple people. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to, but I'm going to do it anyway. We're just going to pray for Thomas's sister. And we're just going to pray for Thomas's sister. We're going to pray for a woman who's recovering from hospital this week from our body. And then also someone who is may have a diagnosis, struggling with a cancer diagnosis. And so, Lord, we just ask for your presence right here, Lord God, to you to minister to these people, Lord, to your people, Lord God, specifically, Lord, to Thomas's sister, that you would provide for her a home to live and for her seven kids, Lord God, and a job, Lord God, so she would not be out in the woods or on the streets, Lord God. We ask that you would provide for her, Lord God. Lord, we pray for those who are ill, and you know who that is, Lord, sick with cancer or whatnot. We ask in Jesus' name for your healing. Those recovering from illnesses, Lord, strengthen them, Lord God, spiritually, physically, empower them, Lord God. Do miraculous things, Lord. You are the God who performs miracles, Lord. We ask that you just continue to do that, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and ears to whatever your Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, Lord. You've brought us here personally to hear a message. And I don't know what that is, but you have a message for someone here today. Will you just speak through today's lesson, Lord God? Some way, somehow, would you speak through to that person and give them what they need? If it's correction, if it's encouragement, if it's a rebuke, we receive it in Jesus' name. We want to grow closer to you, Lord God. We love you and we bless you and we ask that you would encourage and equip us during this time. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our powerful Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, a couple quick things as we're going through announcements. We've got tons of bread today. So please be sure to take some back there that comes from Panera, baked fresh yesterday. And so there's tons of loaves back there, bagels and sweets. You are free to take them in Jesus' name. Also, we don't take up tithes and offerings here at the church, but we do receive them. And so all your tithes and offerings go in a little bird box back in the back. And we are happy to receive whatever you have for the Lord. Looking for things to do, we do have a family game night here. And that's Saturday the 11th, starting at 4 o'clock. And it's to whenever. I think the last time I was, the last game night, what time did I get out of here? Like 11?
Like 10?
10 or 11?
Yeah. Big risk game.
Big risk game, yes. Yeah. Okay. I did win, actually. Don't say anything. But so somebody, of course, they saw me when I played Risk. They said, I want to play Risk with you. Okay, so I do get a little competitive. Yes. Okay. But just bring your favorite game. Okay, hopefully I don't need to say this, but make sure it's a godly game. And what I mean by that is, you know, no magic, no skin, no ungodly things like that. Right, it's the game of revenge. That's a good point. But you know what I'm saying. Smart aleck. What? You can also bring a snack to share. And if you want information, the lovely and talented Wendy Jo Lowe, teacher, godly woman extraordinaire, will be happy to forward. Is that next Saturday? Yes, that'd be next Saturday. That was so fun. I hope I can do it because that's my study day. I feel real bad about that. So anyway, invite your friends, neighbors. Barnyard animals. Okay, so it was also a big church night out in October and featuring Crowda and Sarah Reeves. Also, there's the More Than Words Youth Conference. Amanda Panda was telling me about this again on Wednesday. And so that's this coming up and also in October 20th. And so just talk to Josh and Amanda Panda for details. It looks like it should be a great time. And so the youth will be going to that. Actually, there is no cost on that. It's going to be free in Jesus' name, as it should be, is right. Yes. Here, let me tell you about Jesus and charge you an enormous sum of money. Does anybody not see where that's weird? Okay. Also, we just wanted to say thank you for some things. Man, thank you for just Lisa and all the teens that helped and all the people that helped with the vacation Bible study this week. It was a great time, and the kids had a great time. They put in so much work. Thank you for that. We recorded one of the teachings, so I may show that one of these days. Also, wanted to say thank you for Josh and Amanda Panda and their family, and then also to all the kids for the pool party. I heard a great time was had by all. And a few water balloons got thrown. And also, man, thank you last week to Gary and the folks that went out for the family night at the ballpark. That was so much fun. Listen, if we ever do that again, I'm telling you, you got to go with that. One, my kids, they got like jump ropes. They got a baseball. It was just an absolutely fantastic time. And so if we ever do that again, I'm telling you, please, please come. Don't miss out. Oh, and then somebody got a T-shirt. That was you. That's right.
I got it.
She swiped it. Thou shalt not steal, Mary Kate. Borrowed. Okay. All right. Long-term borrow. Okay. Also, if anyone is interested in going on this cruise next year, it's going to the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be going to Israel, to the Sea of Galilee. We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go to Rome and Malta and Crete. And anyway, it should be an amazing time, especially if you're a woman. We may have another person that's going that needs a roommate. And so we just want to encourage you to do that. See me for details. And then, what? Okay. Okay, good. Talk to me after. Yes. Wait.
There's a wait list, and it's very short. And to get on the wait list, you don't have to give them a deposit. So if you're considering it,
do it now.
Through who?
Yes. We will give you that name, either Mary Kate or myself or Delina. We can give you that. And then it's, I think, $250 for the cabin without the view is the deposit, and then $450 is the deposit if you have... That's right. And there's three waiting lists, I think it's three if for Ocean View and none for, or one for the bottom list. Roughly we have 10 from the church, I think, going. So 8, 9, 9 or 10. Okay, also, do we have youth group this week? Yes, okay, youth group this week, 6:30 to 8:30. Call Josh and Amanda for details. And then our parenting course also this Thursday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And Shepherd's Heart Christian School, if you please pray. God did a really great thing. We weren't even supposed to have this portable up and running till next year, and somehow it's almost all up and running. Chris just finished the cement. Thank you for that. Yes, go Chris. And then the electric is supposed to be done. It was supposed to be like at least a month out. And so we called and we actually just begged them, please do it for the kids. They're starting next week, not this week, next week. And so they moved it up, and they're going to be coming out to do the electric the day after we start school. But that's great. And so just pray, because we're going to be a little squished, because there's a bunch of more families who are in the school and then a bunch of more families that even want to come on board. We just have to wait till that portable's done. So if you pray that the Lord would finish that up, get our certificate of occupancy. And then we are now in Daniel chapter 6. So if you can open your Bibles there to Daniel chapter 6. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and the kind-hearted Chris will deliver one right to your doorstep. Just keep your hand raised and Chris will deliver your Bible to you.
We have another Chris here?
We do not. It's that same very one that did the cement. All right, here's what we have. We just got done with chapter 5, and in chapter 4, we had Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe he came to the Lord. He finally broke, he was humbled, he was a prideful man, and God had to do something drastic, and God humbled the man, that king of the world at the time, and humbled him, and he got saved. So never stop praying for those who are around you. Chapter 5, we have another man, his grandson, who was just being blasphemous to the Lord and drinking out of the holy things of God and this big party and just blaspheming the Lord. And using his sacred things. And man, God just brought the Medo-Persian army in, and that ended the Babylonian reign, and that actually fulfills the prophecy that Daniel gave earlier in the earlier chapters and in Isaiah. And so prophecy is being fulfilled, and the Medo-Persian Empire, is the Babylonians are off the scene, and now the Medo-Persian Empire is starting here. Cyrus is the king of Persia. He's kind of the king of the world, and this story is really, it's going to be about a guy by the name of Daniel. Everybody's probably heard the story, right, of Daniel in the lion's den, right? Most people, I would imagine. And you know, Daniel, when you look at it, when you read the chapter, honestly, I'm inspired by him. Now, here's kind of a weird reason why, and I don't know, this might not resonate with you, but it resonates with me personally. Like, Daniel's not a flashy, I don't even know how to say it, so forgive me. Like, he's not a flashy guy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he's not like, maybe an extrovert, but he's not, I am an extrovert, but he's not like, let's say Moses, okay? Moses, okay, God gave Moses, he led thousands of people, right, out of Egypt, you know, I can see him with that staff, you know, hitting the Nile and it turns to blood, or just raising the staff and the waters of the Nile, or the waters, you know, of the Red Sea just, and they all cross, right? He's not like an Elijah calling fire down from heaven in front of all Israel. Boom, God's doing this amazing thing, and people start to follow the Lord. Or like an Elijah when these awesome miracles are going on. Or even like Paul, who's raising people from the dead, or even his handkerchiefs. You know, people touched them, they were like healed. Okay, this is not Daniel. In fact, even the cool stories in the book of Daniel, when you think about it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the ones thrown in the fire, right? That's so cool. Daniel wasn't in that. Daniel just, he's like, no, I'm not going to eat, you know, I'm not going to eat the meat. I'll have some vegetables because I want to honor the Lord. Okay. I'm going to interpret a dream. Here it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. This is what God gave me. Hey, I'm going to interpret another dream. Here's what it is. God told me to say this. Boom. And here we are. Now, at the end of his life, he's probably about in his 70s or 80s now. He's not been fancy, fluffy, flashy, big production. He's just an average person. Like you and me, empowered by a holy God. He's simply a guy like us. He's simply faithful. Now, maybe some of you in here are going to be some big corporate exec or monstrously popular, whatever. I don't know. And if so, praise God, may God use it for his glory. But for most of us, we're just going about, right, living our life, trying to honor Jesus, right, in our families, at our home, at our work, with our kids, right? We're just faithful. That's this guy. And God says he's been found faithful. This is Daniel. And so as we start kind of this book of Daniel, to me, here's a guy who's led his whole life living for the Lord. I didn't get saved till 30, till I was about 30 years old. I went to church and all that stuff, but I wasn't saved. I wasn't really following Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really give it over to him until that late in the game. And now I'm 35. That might not be exactly true. Oh, what? Wait, where did I do? Oh, it was Nick and Ashley's kids. Okay, so I was over at the parenting course. I digress for one moment. I was over at the parenting course, and so we did our little thing, and then we're showing a video. And so it's going real well. So I went over there just to check on the kids, and I was talking to their kids. And I said, Pastor Dallin. And I said, yes, honey. I sat with him. He's like, how old are you? And I said, oh, honey. I said, you know, Pastor Darren's getting old now. Pastor Darren's getting old. He's like, really? And I said, yes. I said, how old are you? I said, I'm the big. She's like, oh, you're 5 years old? No, hon, no, I'm 50. 50 years old. Oh, okay. So anyway, back to our history here. So Daniel is he's just lived a godly life, and he's here to encourage you and me. God's going to use him to speak to many people again and again. It's the coolest thing. I don't want to ruin it to the end here for the chapter, but God is going to use Daniel again to change another person's heart, not by doing anything super flashy or flamboyant or wing-zang-pow, no lightning bolt's going to come down this time, but God's going to simply use his wonderful, faithful, obedient heart that wants to love and serve the Lord to change the hearts of people, and I love that. So here we go. Let's start off. Daniel chapter 6. And we'll start here. Okay. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, and one of them was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, it starts off, we know that Cyrus is the king, you'll see this at the end of the chapter, is the king of all Persia. And Darius here, we don't know much about this particular guy. Historians and scholars, they disagree exactly who they think Darius is, okay? So some people think Darius is another name for King Cyrus. But I don't think so, because at the end of this chapter it even says, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia. So some people think that, and if you do, that's okay. Another people think this is the name Darius, but I'll tell you what, I believe, and history kind of confirms this, so this is where I this is an opinion. A lot of historians believe that this Darius was one of King Cyrus's generals who helped to take over Babylon. And his name was Gabiru or Ugaburu. And, what a name like that. I didn't change it to Darius. And anyway, Darius is actually the title that was given to him. Because Darius wasn't a name. It means, it was an appointment, a title, and it means Lord. And it means holder of the scepter. And there's lots of history on him taking over for a few years until Cyrus came and Cyrus's son. And so anyway, that's who they believe this to be. So it says that it pleased Darius or King Darius to appoint 120 satraps. Does anybody else say anything else, satraps? What does your Bible say? Anything else say differently? Satraps, princes maybe or something? Well, it basically, it just means like governors to rule the kingdom. So picture they in Babylon, they had about 100 provinces. Now they're up to 120. Picture like if in the United States, we would think of it as states, right? Each state has a governor, right? So they've got 120 huge regions, and there's a governor or a prince or a satrap or a ruler over each one. So think of it as a governor of different states of the United States, if you give you a little visual there. So he appointed 120 of these governors to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them. And one of those was Daniel. So he's like one of the top three guys in the entire Medo-Persian kingdom that kind of ruled the world at this time. And it says those satraps were just made to make sure that, hey, taxes are collected and stuff like that. And in verse 3 it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the governors or among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him up over the whole kingdom. So here, Daniel so distinguished himself because he's loving and serving the Lord among these leaders and among the kings and among these governors by his exceptional qualities, or some of your Bibles will say his excellent spirit, what it's really saying is that, you know, he's a man of God. He's a man of character. This is who he is. Now, how could he be that? Now, if you remember, he was taken from his family. He was taken when Israel was destroyed. The temple's been demolished in Israel. He was taken. He was trained up in the kingdom. But yet, he's still serving here. And he's serving the Lord. And I so love Daniel. Because he's right in the enemy's den. And yet, he's still serving the Lord. And the Bible says this. Maybe you are kind of in a same similar situation. You're at your job or at your school, man. It seems like, man, I am just in enemy territory, trying to serve the Lord here, trying to be godly, you know? But it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You see, Daniel was so distinguished himself by his godly life that everybody else, even the king himself, took notice and said, man, I don't know what it is about this guy, but there's something different. He's not out lying, stealing. He's not out carousing. He's not out, you know, manipulating people and taking stuff and, you know, trying to do everything for himself. He's different. And listen to this. If that's your heart, if it's fully committed to Jesus, he's going to do that same thing. Hey, like Amy was praying, I can't give up the alcohol. I can't give up the drugs, the pills, the pot, the people, the pleasing, whatever. It says the eyes of the Lord will be throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. So you fully commit your heart to the Lord. You fully commit your ways to the Lord. Not half but, not 10%, not 50%. You give it all to him and he will strengthen you. He'll allow you to walk that walk no matter who's against you. That's the God you serve. He's the one that strengthens you. He will encourage you. That's your God. And you can stand firm on his promises. And he's doing that for Daniel, and he'll do it for you too. You know, Joshua 1:9 says, here he's in this strange land, in this place of pagans. And the Bible says this. God says this to him, and he says this to me in this world, and you in this world. I want you to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. So easy to get discouraged nowadays. And here's the reason why. For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. That is an amazing promise. That means he will be with you on the job and in your parenting and in your home and whatever situation that he's got you in. That's our God. All right. Thanks. I'm going to give you this last one, though. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Because if you haven't lived life long enough, you know you can't do this on your own. And you certainly can't walk with the Lord and truly honor him on your own, can you? I'll just speak for me, for your pastor. I need his strength. I need his help. I need him to uphold me every step of the way. We all do. And that's our God. All right. So he so distinguished himself from the rest of them that now it says that the king planned to set him up over the whole kingdom. Now listen, the rest of the kingdom is filled up with a bunch of people in the world. And how do you think they feel about this godly man that's going to be over them checking out all the stuff that they're doing? Do you think they're going to be like, oh, that's fantastic? Why? Why don't they want this godly man of integrity and honestly checking out over them? What's the big deal? Going to make them all look bad? I think you're right. Maybe, why?
Maybe they were corrupt.
Oh.
Uncovered the corruption.
Drained the swamp. whatever you want to say, whatever term you want to use, okay? Whoever, this is who he is. He serves the Lord, you know? And even in politics, you know, hey, Republican, Democrat, Independent, no, Christian. I serve Jesus. He's who I serve. That's who we serve. And that's who our Daniel is serving. So yeah, so they don't like that. Maybe they're skimming a little on the top. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're taking a couple of bribes. Hey, you give me a little bribe, a personal bribe in this area, I'll get you some stuff. That's how the world works. When I used to sell, I hate to say this, but yeah, giving bribes was like a normal way of doing business. And then I got saved. And then everything had to change. And I honestly thought we were going to go out of business because I couldn't do that kind of stuff anymore. And it slowly got faded away. But you know what? God kept it going because I trusted in him. And you can do the same. So here we go. So now you're going to find some people who are jealous. Now, has anybody ever experienced people who are envious of you because you're trying to do the right thing or jealous of you? If you have, just raise your hand for a minute. Anybody ever experienced that? Now, let me tell you, it sure is a blast, isn't it? It's like somebody pouring sand in your eyeballs. Yeah. Well, maybe you haven't had sand poured in your eyeballs. But, St. Victor, I hear what you're saying. And you know what? It is because it's continual, isn't it? It's a constant thing. Have you ever had somebody like jealous of you? They're like nitpicking you, try to do, oh, it's terrible, right? But that's the world. James 3:16 says, for wherever there is jealousy, selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every kind of evil. And here you're going to find that these guys are not going to be very happy about that. It says in the next verse here at Daniel, in verse 4, because the king's going to set him up in front of the whole kingdom. It says, at this, the administrators and the satraps were so thankful for his godly leadership. No, it says, at this, the administrators, satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in the conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. Oh, I love that. If you've ever had somebody nitpick you apart, you know what I'm saying? And they're trying to find, it is terrible. But here's a guy that they couldn't find anything wrong with. You know, as Christians, we're not to let jealousy rule us at all. And I've seen many Christian people, especially in ministry, where they're continually sucking down cups of jealousy, thinking the other person's going to die, and they're poisoning themselves. Even in Corinthians, they had to be rebuked. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, it says, you're jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're still controlled by your sinful nature? Oh, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Jesus. I'm part of this church. I'm part of that church. Do you know, we're going to make it all, we're all about Jesus here. Little t-shirt, we're all about Jesus. And then in the back, let's totally tell you all about our church. You know what I mean? By the end of this month, we're going to be ordaining somebody for missions. It's going to allow him to go into, they're already ministering at New College and Ringling and in places like that, USF, in the college ministry. But it's going to help them. It gives them a pastoral role, gives them inns and places and tax breaks. Now, you know what? We've known them for many, many years, 10, 20 years. She used to lead worship at a little Bible study that we had many, many years ago when she first came to know the Lord. And so her and her husband now have been ministering for many years, missionaries in China, and we're going to be ordaining them for ministry. Okay, now, what does that get us as a church? Zero. There's no kickbacks. No, but I don't. Now, if they come here, great. If they don't, great. If they bring you, great. Who cares? If it's for the Lord, if it's going to help them to minister Jesus and to minister his word to other people, shouldn't we be happy about that? Instead of jealous about that? Yes, are you raising your hand or are you just like, hallelujah, praise God?
Both.
Okay. You may, oh yeah, where is the mic? Well, let me guess, if you want the mic, it's usually Mark. Oh, sorry, was that? It was a good word today, by the way, brother.
So when you bring up this jealousy thing and how it, the verse, the slide before it, that was about, it brings up every kind of evil, and there you go, every disorder and evil of every kind. That reminded me of the story where Jesus went to the temple and he healed someone who'd been, had his hand crippled up forever.
Yes.
And it was such a confusing story to me the first many times I heard it or read it, because instead of them being like, wow, that's amazing, praise God, they're like, ugh. And they like figure out how they're going to get him, you know, like for breaking the law. Like, oh my God, he just did the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
And there's no downside to what he did. And until I realized somebody, I think eventually was like, duh, they're jealous.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, because I honestly like couldn't figure out why are they mad.
Yes.
I don't understand. It couldn't be about the Sabbath. It's stupid. He's helping them.
Yes.
But it's all about jealousy, and jealousy can make you real stupid.
Yes, it can. And it makes you bitter. And, it, you know, jealousy is kind of like, it's really, jealousy is hatred being inspired by your insecurities. It's just hatred being inspired by your insecurities. Yeah, or fueled by it, whatever you want to say. But listen, Proverbs, I love this, 14:30 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Huh. I wonder if he's meaning, I think he's talking personally, but I think he's also talking in the body of a church. Jealousy is like a cancer in the bones. When you have jealousy, you'll start hearing things that aren't there. You'll start seeing things that aren't there because you're taking and perceiving things differently because you're jealous. It's your pride. So let all that stuff go. Wonderful. Who cares? Let that jealousy get out of here. Listen to this one. Psalm 37, 1 to 2 says, you know, and what do we do? You know, they're being successful. Hey, leave it in God's hands. Don't worry about the wicked. Or envy those who do wrong. For like the grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they're going to soon wither. God will take care of them in the long run. You don't need to try to get back to them or whatever. Let God take care of it. So anyway, so this jealousy is bringing about. Now they're trying to get him, just like they did Jesus. That Peter and John, I don't know if you remember when they went into the temple. And there was a guy who was crippled since birth. And if you remember the story, they went to him and he was asking for alms, for money. And he went up to him and he said, you know, son, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, you know, money I have not, but what I do have you, I give you. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, get up and walk. And at that moment, the Lord strengthened his muscles, his legs, his, I mean, think of the muscle memory that would have had to come, tendons, ligaments, all grow back. He would have to know how to use it, everything. And he was immediately healed. And everybody knew him because they've seen him his whole life. And when they said that Jesus did it, oh, were they mad? He was trying to tell them. And in fact, they said, oh, this guy must not be the real guy. Bring in his parents. And his parents were like, why are you asking us? He's right there. Ask him. He'll tell you. It's Jesus. And then, of course, you knew they kicked him out of the church. And all because of jealousy, people were going to him instead of to them. And so that's a killer. It goes on to say in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, it says that they could find no corruption in him. And I love that. Because he was trustworthy. He was neither corrupt nor negligent. And finally, verse 5 said, they said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with his God. Now, isn't that cool? They can't find anything to bust him on, really. So they got to make up something about how he serves the Lord. But it says right here, even they, trying to get him in trouble, have to say, you know what? I hate this guy. But you know what? He's trustworthy. I can't find any corruption in him. He's a hard worker. He's not negligent. He's got integrity. This is his enemy saying this about him. And you know what? Do people say that about you? Now listen, if you're a Christian, people are going to say bad things about you. I'm sorry. That's what's going to happen. They hated Jesus, and they'll hate you because you love the Lord. It's going to happen. He said, hey, this is what they did to me. They're going to do it to you. But take heart, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Okay? But he says, I want you to be a man or a woman of integrity that people can say, you're trustworthy. You. Me. I feel like I was the king of liars. Well, I wouldn't be the king, but I would be the prince of liars before I came to Christ. Here's what the Word of God says about people who walk, Christians who walk with integrity. It might not be popular with the world. In fact, it's going to be unpopular. In fact, it's going to be even unpopular among Christians. Why? Because they're jealous. Just keep going. Be like a Daniel. Be faithful. It says, this is cool. Proverbs 2:7 says, this is he being God. God grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. Just be honest. It says he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. I like that. So as long as I walk in integrity, my God is going to be a shield for me. He's going to take the major parts of the blows, of the hits, of the attacks. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is a poor man who walks within his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27, the godly walk with integrity. And even if you're thinking of your kids, blessed are their children who follow them, because you're going to be an example to others, whether they're physical kids or spiritual kids. And then Proverbs 10:19, whoever walks with integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. And these guys who are not faithful will be found out. Daniel is just a faithful guy. If there's one thing too that's really lacking in the church today, is simply people who are faithful, you know, like Daniel. I just show up. I'm not super fancy schmancy, but you know what? I show up for church. I show up for Bible studies. I show up to serve. Now listen, if you're one of those people who feels guilty about everything and you took a vacation week, don't be like condemning yourself going, he's talking about me. I'm the loser. Don't do that. On the other side of the same coin, be faithful. Jesus said, I'm not saying that to condemn anybody, but I've watched this for many years, 20 years in the ministry. The people who have prospered the most weren't the fanciest, the best talkers, the richest, the most charismatic. They were simply people who showed up, got their hands dirty, and steadily did the work. That's it. The Bible says, and the Lord's saying, tell me to do you first. So go ahead.
And what I find is I want to emulate him and be like him. And it's a hard one sometimes to get up to that level.
Yes.
I don't feel like I will ever be, because, well, he's been at it a long time.
Yes. You know what, though? But I love that heart. And what a beautiful thing to even say, because that, even you sharing that, is teaching us here. You're saying that his integrity is spilling over, and that helps you to want to emulate that. And you know what? The Bible says that. You know, one of the folks said, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Emulate the good things that I do. And you know what? There may be a day, Debbie, when you're, and I'm not saying anything bad about Mark, it may surpass him. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean?
I think in some ways we're what on is different
it?
Paths toward the same thing.
Right.
So each of us has
yes.
A different
strength. Sure. But you know what? There are things that he's going to learn from you and that you've raised in godliness and he's trying to emulate, and things that you'll learn from him. And it's the same with all of us. You know, when I look, the Lord's telling me not to single out people. In a good way, I was going to mention a bunch of faithful people, and you know who you are. You're not. Then we'll talk about humility next week. But they're the people who faithfully serve, maybe in children's ministry, maybe cleaning the church, maybe in youth serving the teens, maybe teaching Bible studies, maybe doing prayer groups, maybe helping to start. There's a million things. You know who you are, teaching in a school that you don't get paid for much. You're just faithfully serving, and you're doing it for Jesus. And God says, well done, my good and what?
Faithful servant.
Faithful servant. Yes. Do we have a mic? I don't know where the mic went again. Is it Mark have it? Okay, good.
No, I have it.
Okay, good.
There's a song that I keep hearing on the radio, and some of you guys might have heard it. It's called Dream Small.
Oh.
Have you guys heard that one?
Goodness,
can I read just a couple of the lyrics? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, and the title, and I wish I could sing, but I can't. But it's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time that the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor in a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on a broken and hurt, loving on the broken and hurt. These simple moments change the world. It says, and this is the chorus, dream small. Don't bother like you got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help with his great love. A tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. It's visiting a widow down the street or dancing on Friday with a friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dream. Just don't miss the minutes on the way. Your bigger things. No, because these simple moments change the world. So dream small.
Yeah, that when I first heard that, I think it was last week. If you guys are on our text chain, I will send out, God willing, that song this week so you can hear it. If you haven't heard it, I'll send it out. If you're not on that text chain, come see me afterwards and slip me your number for texting purposes for the church. And you'd be surprised. And I will, you'd be surprised what people think sometimes.
Oh, baby, dream small.
Everybody's a comedian. Anyway, but Joe, I'm just going to, people were telling me this weekend, just your simple faithfulness and how much you've encouraged them and inspired them and how much they were blessed. Multiple people were telling me and talking about you, not fancy schmancy skyrockets, but how thankful and how blessed and how encouraged and on and on and on, thanking God for you. Just being faithful to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? That's the truth of the matter. And so thank God for being faithful. Thank God for faithfulness. 1 Samuel, I sent this out last week, I think, or the week before. 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he's done for you. If you consider what great things he's done for you, if you keep that in the forefront of your mind, then you know what? The finances, he'll take care of. The time, he'll take care of. I'm being faithful to him. Thanks, Lord. And again, Daniel's an old man now, but he's been doing it since he's young. So listen, whether you're young, like some of you, like us, or you're old, like Gary, and others, like him, whatever spectrum you're on, this is what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 4:12. Listen, if you're young, hear me now. God says, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. Instead, in Jesus Christ, I want you to set an example for the believers in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. You be an example to the older people. You can be an example to the older people here. Because some of them have grown tired and old and crusty. Weary. Compromising. Grumpy. But you guys, just like Daniel, when he was a kid, you set the example. And if you're older, this is from Psalm 71, 17, 18, when I was in processing, standby. Yeah, buffering, right. When I was in Africa, south of Sudan. Dang it. That's embarrassing. Somewhere in Africa. Uganda. When I was in Uganda, I was teaching at a Bible college, ministering down there on a missions trip. I was interviewing this guy who was just, he was teaching a men's Bible study. And he was just an old missionary. And he was just being faithful. And I was interviewing, and I remember, I've never heard this verse. He said, you know, we were talking about being old, and, you know, I'm not picking up seashells on the beach. I could retire. He's like, but I want to serve the Lord. And he said, Psalm 71, 17 to 18, he told me this. He said, oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. If you're old, all the more. To get that butt in gear, get revved up. You got stuff to share. Amen. People need to hear it. Until I proclaim your might, O God, to another generation and your power to all who come. That's what we're doing here. I want you to know the God I know and to know him as, I want you to know him better. More power, more cool stuff. That's so cool. So that's where we're at with Daniel. Sorry, would you hit the light, Chris? So back in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, he says, in the last verse, verse 5, he says, we're never going to find anything unless it has something to do with his God, you know. We can't figure out anything to bust him on, you know. And the world may be a poor critic of my Christianity, but it sure is a good critic of my conduct. Do you know what I'm saying? The world is a poor critic of my Christianity, but they'll know if I've got a bad temper. They'll know if I'm lying, I'm stealing, I'm compromising. They know that. They're a good critic of that because it's stuff they can see. Everything you see and do will be seen by others. So verse 6, so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, oh, King Darius, we're going to schmooze you forever. No, oh, King Darius, live forever. And verse 7 says, the royal advisors, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed. I underlined all. Agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree. That anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, because you're the man, O king, they shall be thrown into the lion's den. We all think this is a great idea. You know, rally all the people around you, king, because you are such an amazing guy. Used to be those Babylonians. Now it's you Medo-Persians. Let's just, you know, it's not a big deal, right? 30 days, right? It's a small window of time. But we can make it all about you, huh? Let's line them up. We all love you. We're all agreed. Let's line them up under, you know, this bench just for 30 days. We'll just worship and give honor to you. It'll set everybody up in the right way. It'll show them your power because you'll throw them in the lion's den. Just 30 days. No biggie. What do you say? We're all behind you. Oh, yes, your hand's raised. I'm
sorry. How they say all, but they forget Daniel.
Right. I'm guessing Daniel's not in that mix.
They didn't consult him.
They probably didn't consult Danny Boy. So it says, and the reason why they threw him in the lion's den, do you remember, like, the Babylonians? They would burn them in the fire. Remember that big thing that they did? Remember, you remember Shadrach, Meshach, a couple of chapters back. Anywho, the Medo-Persians didn't do that because they believed fire was, like, consecrating to their false gods. So they wouldn't burn people because that would mean that they were making them, you know, special, consecrating them to their gods. So they just, you know, fed them to lions. So verse 8 says, "Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Now, the Babylonians, like King Nebuchadnezzar, man, when he said something, it happened. If he said, you die, you die. If you were his bestie today and you had a migraine and you didn't like him now, off with his head. He could turn your little family's houses into piles of rubble and cut you up into little pieces if he just felt like it. Perhaps you burnt the toast. Off with his head. You know, whatever. He had total control. The Medes and the Persians, well, they had kind of like a constitutional monarchy where if they signed something into law, then it couldn't be changed. And so they believed that the kings spoke for the gods. And so once it's signed into law, it must be the God. So they're schmoozing him. They're winning him over to bust Daniel. And here's what they say. This would make a great movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You've got a man of integrity. You've got powers, world powers changing hands. You have intrigue, jealousy. You know, you've got what? They're schnookering him. They're schnookering the king right now. Is that still a word? Schnooker? Okay. They're schnookering the king right now. You've got this plot, and then you're going to have a plot twist at the end, and you got some good old-fashioned violence with some lions in there. You know what I'm saying? You got the administrator's lion, and you got the lions who are lions.
They're not lying.
It says, and now, it says in verse 10, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to the upstairs of his room, and he got really mad and started cursing at the Lord that he... No, it doesn't say that. He hid himself away in the basement so nobody would know that he was praying. It doesn't say that. It says this. It says he went home and opened where the windows were opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Now, I find this interesting. He could have just, you know, prayed somewhere else, right? I'm just praying in my head, huh? You say I can't pray to my God? Right? I don't think that would have been wrong.
No.
But you know what? He wasn't going to be intimidated. Now, he also wasn't, it didn't say that, you know, he wasn't praying before. And now, because now I can't pray, I'm going to grab a bullhorn. Oh, Lord! I pray here on these court steps.
Right.
He's not being flamboyant. He's just doing, this is what I've always done. I've always worshipped the Lord. This isn't new to me. Now, why did he turn to Jerusalem? Well, because in Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8, 29 to 30 and 33 to 34, when Solomon dedicated the temple that David wanted to build, and Solomon was praying that the Lord's presence would be there, in the middle of that prayer, it says this. It says in verse 33 in 1 Kings 8, it says, "When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy," and they were, right? The Babylonians crushed them. "Because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to their forefathers. May your eyes be on this, open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place." So he's just praying, "Lord," he's praying, and it says morning, noon, and night. It's not like, you know, "Thank you for this food, amen." You know, he's thanking him. He's making supplication. He's praying. It was his normal thing. He did it throughout the day. Yes, Gary Hezekiah, would you run that mic over there really quickly to Gary? As you're running that mic to Gary, I'll give you a scripture here. And it says in Psalm 55, 16 through 17, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening, morning, and noon I'm going to pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Not in a legalistic way, but man, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to cry. I'm going to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Please, Lord, bring us back to you. Bring our people back to you. Help us to walk rightly with you. Help me to walk rightly with you. Give me strength, oh God. He's crying out. Gary, you had something you wanted to say.
It occurs to me that I wonder, what was he giving thanks for? For God's faithfulness, for the opportunity to witness for him? For leading him through this. Fascinating what he was thanking the Lord for in a time when I probably would be begging for a way out.
That's a good point. Now, because of his faithfulness, Cyrus is actually, you're going to read it, you can read it for yourself in Ezra chapter 1, the first few verses, but Cyrus is also eventually going to let all the people go back to Israel. I'll let the people go back. And when it says that he prayed on his knees too, I don't want you to take this in a legalistic way. God's more concerned about your heart, okay, than the position you can pray. So really quickly, you can pray sitting. You read that in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. You can pray standing. You can read that in Mark 11:25 or Luke 18:13. You can pray walking. 2 Kings 35, you can pray bowing. Psalm 72:11, Nehemiah 8:6. You can pray with your hands up. When King Solomon was praying in 2 Kings chapter 8, he started off praying like this with his hands raised. It says right in there. And then he drops to his knees, which I'll talk to you about in a second. And or prostrate, you know, when you're flat out. Joshua 7:6. And don't let anybody, if there's one of these things that you're not going to do, I would check your heart on that.
Well, I'm just not going to raise my hands. Worshiping the Lord. I'm not going to pray to him that way, you know.
Why? Why? Is it pride? What's the deal?
Well, I'm not going to kneel down. Well, then that's an issue. I don't want to kneel to the Lord.
Well, why not? Listen, there's still something wonderful about kneeling. And feel free to do that. In worship or whatever, or at the altar. Psalm 95:6 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. Ezra 9:5 says, at the time of the sacrifice, I stood up from where I sat in the morning with my clothes torn. And I fell to my knees and lifted my hands to God, to the Lord my God. The prayer that our friend Mark in Ephesians verse 14 and 15. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from which his whole family derives his name on heaven and earth. I pray, and he goes on. Just what he prayed during our worship time. Peter did the same thing. Peter knelt down and prayed in Acts chapter 9:40. Turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And even Jesus, you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember? He pulled back, in verse 41 of Luke 22, he pulled back about a stone's throw from them, and he got on his knees and began to pray. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And those prayers, and again, it says that this is what he normally did. You know, and I love this little saying, it's hard to stumble when you're on your knees. Do you know what I'm saying? This was his custom. He was used to praying all the time. That's why he wasn't freaking out, Gary. That's why he's not. That's why he's thanking the Lord right now. R.A. Torrey said something cool. And it says this. The reason why many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of the battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came. Anticipate your battles. Fight them on your knees before the temptation comes, and you will always have victory. He's already been praying, already been serving, already been doing this. He's already won. It doesn't matter what they do. I'm going to serve the Lord. That's where the battle's won. When it comes, I'm going to stand for him. No, you're not. You're going to fall. Don't kid yourself. Unless you develop a habit of serving the Lord, of being faithful to him. Does that make sense, everyone? Yes. Do you have a mic for this young, lovely young man in the back? Okay. Thank you. All right.
I remember at a Promise Keepers event when people were wondering, well, is it okay if I raise my hands or should I act this way or that way? And the guy that was up there in front of 17,000 people said, look, let me tell you something. Worship is between you and the Lord, and it does not matter what the person next to you thinks of what you're doing, because you're doing it to glorify God. Get your heart right, and I'll tell you what, that changed the entire convention. Yeah. That whole weekend, the tone was set. This is between you and God, not between you and your neighbor. And it was amazing what happens when we think about, I don't care what my neighbor thinks, I only care what the audience of one thinks.
Yes. Amen. Good. Okay. Now, I am terrible with conceptions of time.
Really?
Oh, that hurt. Okay, so... It probably is at old age. So I have just realized in my notes that I have lots more to go. So should I stop or keep going? Huh? Next week. Okay. All right. So, all right. My wife is saying stop, even though I selfishly want to go on. But are there any other comments before? Oh, my goodness. The end is so cool. Like, it's so cool.
To be continued.
Next time.
Yes. Next time. Same God channel, same God time.
Here's the trail. You all studied up. You can come to game night, and you're all ready for
next. Booyah! Woo! That's a really good point. I didn't. Wow. Okay, so, hey, any closing thoughts since we have a couple of minutes? Any closing thoughts? Somebody bring the mic over here to... Oh, okay, anything.
I love what this man up there had to say. Is he somebody we're supposed to know who he was? Tory or whatever?
Okay, yes, we can... he was a Christian who loved and served the Lord. Yes, he's like... folks like A.W. Tozer, and these are men or women who have gone before us and have faithfully served the Lord. And so, yeah. Good. Yes. Oh, you have announcements. I'm sorry. There is no announcements right now. We're doing comments. Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah. Right, you can. Go ahead.
Yeah. I guess I deserve that. So... It is December's 13th birthday today. So, after we are released, I would like some of the people in the church that would like to pray for her to lay hands on her, but I know that she doesn't want to stop the whole service for it.
Okay.
So, if we could just do that, just to encourage her as she goes into adulthood.
That sounds great. Well, why don't we do this then? Why don't we stop the whole service?
No, let's do it.
Okay. Do you now, Miss Rebecca? You had said last week that you wanted to close us out in a song. Are you ready to do that song? Or
yes,
that
but next? George is not.
Okay,
we discussed it.
Okay, so why don't we do it? We'll do it next week.
Next
then.
Next week. Today, I'll focus on Sunday.
Okay. Yes, Miss Lisa, do you have a comment?
Okay. I told her last week.
All right. Would you please hand the microphone to?
Tables from one kid's building to another.
Okay.
Just it will only take like 15 minutes.
Okay, great.
Just a few people. That's all.
Okay. All right. So, okay, is there anything else before we get out? Okay, Mark, yes.
We do have men's group Tuesday night.
Men's group Tuesday night. Did I not mention that? Okay.
This Tuesday.
Gotcha.
And Ray is doing his
Chinese food?
Stir-fry.
Yes.
Yum.
6 o'clock. I love that. The egg rolls. Okay. Yes, Anthony.
My son next week.
Yes, and also, absolutely. And also, we're going to, listen up, we're also going to pray for Natalie and Anthony's son, Cross, who is going into the military. And so we're going to hopefully all pray for him, if he allows that, next week. And so we're going to do that, just pray for whatever the Lord puts on. So very... keep him in prayer this week, and Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. But yes, so we'll do that. Okay. All right, December. Okay, so you guys are dismissed. We love you very much. Have a great week. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. And remember, we're like family. If anybody needs a stove, refrigerator, dishwasher, come see me. Okay, will you text me?